But I was good at art, and an artist, a gentleman whose name was Payne, who is known in this town, suggested to me that I wouldn't be good as an artist, but perhaps I could be a draftsman. I approached Murphy Radio, who took me on as a junior design draftsman, where I saw out my time in the drawing office and in the workshops and in tool design part of Murphy Radio. By 1946, I was called a junior draftsman. I'd learnt the basic skills of what was required in those days to produce a mechanical drawing. I did quite a lot of time in the tool design office of Murphy Radio, which was in Broadwater Road. And then I came back to Murphy Radio, whose premises were then all somewhat condensed at a new property, a bit next to Dorney's, between the railway and Dorney's, in Bessemer Road. And I continued there, but the work somehow seemed not to be... I didn't see how I could progress.
What was it like working there? Was it a friendly place? Lots of social activities?
Yes.
Money? Right, reasonable? You know?
I found it a very reasonable place. If I was to talk about the drawing office was filled with a wide range of people who had been brought in to do the work that was necessary. We had artists, cartoonists. We had lady tracers, girl tracers in the office. There were about 120 in the office, as I recall it. They were divided into units of about a dozen called sections. I was a section boy initially. I went into what was called the print room, where all drawings that were made were kept, and they were printed off as necessary for the various parts in Wellington City, because Murphy Ready was spread about all over the town, which I think I've sort of touched on earlier. And then I then was appointed to a section where I was a slave, to a section of about 12 people. They asked me to get them pencils, to get them rubbers, to get them leads, to get them rolls, ham rolls, cheese rolls. They asked me to get them cigarettes. And I have to say that I was sometimes sent abroad to places like Hartford and St Albans, when I cycled to get cigarettes. And I hated cigarettes. So I never, ever found any cigarettes in any of those towns. A shop that sold cigarettes knew their customers, and you couldn't go along and say, I'll have 10 Gold Flake or whatever they were. Mm. Anyway, so a lot of time was wasted from my point of view doing that sort of thing. I was not very cooperative. There were a lot of tricks played in the drawing office. There were young people. Basically we worked and so on. But one would find suddenly that a lamp, an angle-poised lamp would swing round and hit you on the head while you're doing something on your drawing board. Because we all had a table and a large drawing board with a T-square on it. You know, the sort of thing.
Absolutely, yes.
I've got some of those things in there. When I first went into there, I was appointed to this section, and I started working to the British Standard Drawing Practices, which meant I had to do A's, B's, C's, etc., all the letters of the alphabet in a particular way. You could print an A in an upright position, or if you were a slanting type, you could slant, but you had to make your mind up what it was going to be. And I would write out 50 A's on a sheet, 50 B's on a sheet, and this would be done again and again until my printing was reasonable, and it, in the end it was. I was also responsible for taking down the blackouts from the windows in the offices. The Murphy Radio drawing office, the main one, was facing Norton's, and it's still there now. And I had jobs like that sort of thing in addition to what I was required to do. And so far as friendliness was concerned, most of the people were very nice, civilised people. In those days, I think my activities were outside of Murphy Radio, but it did have a very strong social and sports club. Mm. And there was a gentleman called Jack Hum, who was, I think, the editor of a Murphy magazine, and he would come round regularly to me and say, when are you coming along to hear our classical music concert, which was held somewhere, and with the best Murphy equipment that could be found and that sort of thing. It wasn't until 1951 when I restarted there that I got involved in sports properly, mm-hmm. things like that. But nevertheless, I always had my interests outside. But there were a wide range of activities, ballroom dancing, an orchestra. Oh dear, I wrote it on a piece of paper.
The famous fete. The famous summer fete.
Yes, there were the summer sports day,
yeah.
where, and that athletics club, of course, that reminds me. There, in Murphy Radio, there were football. There was a very powerful football team. Hockey was done. That was mixed hockey. There was a music club, which was listening to music, as I'd mentioned earlier. There was an orchestra. There was a ballroom dancing group. There was an athletics side to things, which I did get involved in. The sports days were in the sort of summertime, and there was a competition. I have to say this, I don't boast much, but there was a competition for the all-round sportsman of the year. And because I was a representative of the county at high jump and javelin throwing, and even occasionally at long jump, the activities, there were four field events and three running races. And for 3 years, I managed to be the winner of the all-round sportsman, which was a fiddle, really, because I knew before I went in that nobody could throw... Jump, and what was the thing? Shot put mm-hmm. as well as I could. So they changed the rules so there were more running races than there were field events. So that my demise came immediately.
Oh, sad.
But the sports days, I enjoy those sports days. That was, of course, that was on the Handside playing fields. Mm. When also, of course, in those days. Murphy had the use of a football pitch, which I just recall. Then I started off in 1942 at about £1.50 a week. But then when I came back and restarted in 51, I think it was about £5.10. It's difficult to equate to those days, but yeah. £5.50 a week, insofar as money was concerned.